From the Figure 4 Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington. Exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny. Along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people.
Everybody, it's the Brian, Vinny, and Craig Show. It's January 26, 2025. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We got two big shows to talk about here this week. We've got the AEW Collision Show, and we've got Saturday Night's main event. And best of all, this is a free show, which you know because you're listening to it right now, absolutely free. So you get a chance to hear an AEW television review, a WWE television review, and God damn it, if you like it, sign up today. I don't care how you're listening. You may be listening through the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. You can sign up there and get not only all of the shows, but 15,000 archived podcasts. What in God's name would you do with 15,000 archived wrestling shows? I don't know. Whatever you do with them, you have them. Yeah. So the WWE Network is on its last legs, everyone. The Peacock, stuff is vanishing, stuff you can't access anymore. Our library is still intact. 15,000 archived shows for you at WrestlingObserver.com. Or if you are listening through Apple Podcasts, or you're watching on YouTube, or you're listening through Spotify, you can sign up and get all of the shows, 84 shows every month, for just $9.99 on each of those. Spotify is $9.99 a month, and YouTube is $9.99 a month, and Apple Podcasts is $9.99 a month. So that's it. It's like pennies a day for each of these podcasts if you sign up through what you're listening to right now. So WrestlingObserver.com, I would say, is the superior option. It's $14.99, but you get the Apple, or you get the archives, as well as the Wrestling Observer newsletter and Wrestling Observer newsletter archives as well. So you get far more content at WrestlingObserver.com plus the board. But if you just want podcasts, that's all you want, then whatever you listen or watch your podcasts on, just grab a subscription for $9.99. So with all the plugs out of the way, should mention very quickly, just go to f4wonline.com/Apple, f4wonline.com/Spotify, or f4wonline.com/YouTube. That's the easiest way to get to all of these different places. And sign up for your favorite one. So anyway, let's get going on Saturday night's main event.
I was going to ask you.
Saturday night's main event.
Okay, you're crystal
Saturday
clear.
Night's main event.
All right.
Saturday night's main event is going first.
I shall start with the main event.
It's the bigger show.
Saturday evening. We watched WWE Saturday night's main event January 25th, 2025. From San Antonio, Texas, they show everyone arriving at the building. Kevin Owens is very irritated. They're even shooting him. Shawn Michaels looks completely bewildered, not used to being out of NXT. The ring general Gunther arrives in a 1980s suit. And Ted DiBiase arrives looking a little old, a little tubby, and a very cheap fake tuxedo. But he still has that laugh. I mentioned this on the show I did with Tom last week, but is Joe Tessitore eligible for Rookie of the Year?
I don't know, man, but he's
awesome.
Yeah, you know what? He was even better on SmackDown.
Mm.
Yeah, I watched SmackDown too. Talk about that with Filthy on the show tomorrow. But man, this Joe Tessitore, He is. Well, you know, they got announcer of the year.
They do.
So it doesn't matter if you got a rookie of the year. You can vote for him for announcer of the year if you want.
He certainly could. He does
a great job. He's probably the best guy to ever do this that just, you know, came from something else.
Yes.
There have been many of them, and I think he's the best.
Yeah.
Not Mike Adamly?
Please.
No. They brought back Animotion to sing Obsession.
You know what's funny about Mike Adamly?
No.
Is he wasn't that bad. No, it was just he screwed up a few things, and you know,
huge
those
week.
Well, they became like, you know, no one let him forget Jeff Harvey and
sure. Summerfest.
I mean, if you get past like Jeff Harvey and Summerfest and some of those things, it wasn't like he was a terrible announcer.
Summerfest,
he just they took him. They took a guy that didn't know anything about anything, and you know, but I mean, he was okay at his job. But Joe Tessitore is actually quite great at his job.
Yeah.
And you know who else is as well? Jesse the Body Ventura.
Also true.
They give him enough information where he can do a good job on commentary. Although, as we'll get to later, he needs some glasses.
Ooh.
And he also needs to tone back on the conspiracy theories on everything.
Well, no, then he wouldn't be Jesse Ventura.
That's true.
If he did that. Tons and tons of pyro. And then Jesse's introduced to the Ochre Land position. He scolds these Texan fans for their inability to handle winter weather. Really, the Texan government more than the fans. He's very excited for the Intercontinental Championship match. He once saw Sheamus win a battle royal, and now he's challenging Bron Breakker.
Wow. But,
that's what he said.
You know, I may have said too much.
Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley. Holy crap. Was this not the best Nia Jax match
no,
you ever
No, actually, you know, here's the thing, Vinny. You just started watching SmackDown again, okay? So, there are two people, okay? There are two people that Nia Jax, for some reason, is incapable of having a bad match with. One of them is Rhea Ripley, and the other is Naomi.
Makes sense.
And there was a Nia Jax-Naomi match. I think it was the first one that they had together, and it was better than this one.
That's the one they main evented with.
Like, yeah, it blew me away. Like, I was just flabbergasted by how good Naomi and Nia Jax was.
Yeah.
I would say this was second. This was a really good match, and the crowd was going crazy for it. But the Naomi match actually, believe it or not, was better.
Well, it was a good match, and it wasn't just a good match where Nia didn't do anything and they just told a story. They were sprinting. It was a very fast pace. She never got blown up, taking tons of bumps. Everything she did looked good. She was a great giant. Rhea wrestled this match like Orange Cassidy, of all people. Then the side slam counter into a DDT, springboard Hurricane Rana, hit a code red, all this stuff. And just a fucking great TV match. And Nia keeps going up for the Annihilator, keeps getting shoved off over and over again. Rhea hits a plancha to the floor, again, much like Orange Cassidy. She keeps trying for Riptide and can't get it. And finally, Nia goes up yet again. She hit the Annihilator to the back one time. But instead of going for the pin, she went to the ropes and posed, which let Rhea hit an electric chair, then a kick to the back of the head, and she finally gets Riptide and she wins. Excellent wrestling match.
Yeah, it was just... I don't know if it's like... I don't know what it is. Because, I mean, Rhea has good matches with a lot of people, but Naomi is very hit and miss, and I'm not sure what it is, but they both gel great with Nia. And, you know, Nia works... Actually, I would say that Nia actually works harder with Naomi. Like, some of the spots they do in their matches are flat out like, oh my God, I can't believe they even thought of doing that. But this one was good. Crowd was into it. I don't know if the crowd thought that Nia had a chance of winning, but they did get it in the near fall, so maybe they did. But I thought this was a very, very good match.
I have noticed this about Nia for the last few matches. She is... good at working the big girl gimmick. She doesn't get out of her lane much. She does things that are impressive for a big person, and she stays in her lane, and it works. And Rhea's, don't get me wrong, Rhea's good size too, but they just had a really good match. I like the simplicity of like her pop-up headbutt. It just works. So... kudos to Nia for improving.
Oh, definitely. She
fingers crossed.
Hit and miss is a great improvement for her.
Okay.
But this was a hit. Alundra Blaze is shown in the crowd. They should have shown her. She had a belt over her shoulder. They should have filmed her taking it out of a trash can. And it occurred to me they may have already done that at some point in the past decade plus. Comedian Gabriel Iglesias is shown in the crowd.
Yes.
Sheamus versus Braun Breaker.
God oh boy! Damn.
Holy crap!
Talk about two big men.
Hey, you know who should win Most Improved this year? It maybe should be Sheamus. I mean,
he's never. Fan of clobbering. Clubbering? I've been a big Sheamus fan for a long time.
So there was a Raw a few weeks ago. It was actually the Netflix debut. Or no, it was a week after the Netflix debut. It was week two. And Penta debuted. And he did his match with Chad Gable. And then he did a promo. And he was supposed to do like just a quick promo. But he took the mic and he went into business for himself. And he actually cut like an incredible promo. And everybody was just blown away by it. And they, you know, even though he went longer than he was supposed to, it was like so good and it got him over so big that like nobody was disappointed. But it was immediately followed by a Sheamus match with, what's his name? Gunther's dude.
Fabian Aichner is his old name.
Not Fabian Aichner.
The other one. Imperium.
Marcel Bartel. Whatever his name is now. Could someone help me out here? I got 30 things going through my mind. Anyway, Kaiser.
So, Ludwig Kaiser.
Ludwig Kaiser. Yeah. So I remember watching it at the time, and I didn't know the Penta thing had gone long, and so they only got like 8 minutes. And you know how they do these matches? There's like a big commercial in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So I just remember watching it, and it was like, you know what? I expected so much more, and I was disappointed. But it turned out they had their time cut, okay? But I bring this up because with the exception of that match where Sheamus and Kaiser had their time cut, every Sheamus match this year has been awesome. I'm talking every last single one of them. And Braun Breaker is great. But, you know, they put this match together. And maybe it was because I'd just seen that Sheamus match that was just kind of mediocre because it was short. I knew this would be good. But my God, did this overachieve. This match was awesome.
So a couple years ago at WrestleMania, night one or night two, there was a four-way tag match, and I commented at the time, because Braun Strowman was in it, and was doing his run around the ring spot, and Angelo Dawkins hit him with a shoulder tackle and just wiped him out. And I talked about how hard you have to hit Braun Strowman to knock him backwards when he's running at you. There's a point in this match here where Braun's on the floor, and Sheamus tries something or other off the stairs.
He was just going to do a running, like a dive or a crossbody or a double sledge.
Well,
He just went and jumped off it.
And Braun Breaker charged and speared him out of midair. Mm. And I shrieked. And I had the same thought at first. Do you know when Sheamus is flying down and across at you and you knock him backwards?
Oh, yeah.
And so I started watching this over and over again. And the more I watched it, the more amazing it got, because it's not like Braun was planting on the floor and Sheamus was in midair. Braun left the earth, flew through the sky, collided with Sheamus, kept going through the big Irishman.
Yes.
The Irishman went backwards. Oh my God in heaven.
And you know what? I don't think that was the most impressive thing in this match, actually.
There was a lot.
When Braun did his run up the ropes Frankensteiner, which everybody just went absolutely crazy for, and then he went for the spear, and Sheamus did the brogue kick. They've done this spot before. I think they've done it with the brogue knee, where Braun will go
for
the
spear. I'm pretty sure they did this in the Vancouver match at Survivor Series.
It might have been the knee there, but whatever.
Yeah.
The point is, Braun goes for this spear, and man, Sheamus brogue kicked this guy, and it was either the best worked kick I've seen in years, or he murdered Braun Breaker. This was the greatest looking bro kick I've ever seen in my life. And the way, I mean, dude, Braun goes down and the guy's dead, okay? He's absolutely dead. And Sheamus goes over, and, you know, normally when you see the guy put his foot on the ropes, it's like the ref counts one, the ref counts two, and then the guy puts his foot on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the guy usually puts his foot on the ropes with such speed that it's almost like, why don't you just kick out? Like, obviously, you've got enough life in you. I mean, you practically kicked a field goal putting that foot on the ropes. Braun could barely lift his leg. I mean, his leg weighed 10,000 pounds when he tried to lift it off the mat, and it barely made it to the ropes. And this is where Jesse lost his mind.
Yep.
Because Jesse believed that he saw the ref hit the mat for the third time.
Yes.
The ref didn't, and they showed multiple replays, and he did hold up his count when the foot got on the ropes. Jesse was convinced that the referee had counted three and then changed his mind. And you could even see, and he's going on and on. He goes on and on during the match. He goes on and on after the match. And you can just see Michael Cole. He just stops, and he looks at the camera, and he's like, can we move on now? This guy would not shut up about this thing. But anyway, he killed him. Absolutely, positively murdered him with this brogue kick. And then, unfortunately, we had a couple more spots, and Braun ducked a brogue and speared him. And it was almost like it was anticlimactic of everything else. It was like, that was just kind of it. But goddamn, this match was great.
Yeah, Jesse went into full Alex Jones mode here.
Yeah. And no, he went into full Jesse Ventura mode. He would what not he did.
Let it go. And it distracted from the finish of the match. But anyway, it was very, very good match. So, with that said.
Did we mention Bron Breakker grabbing Sheamus and pressing him over his head?
Well, he tried. He kind of lost him a little
bit. If I'm grading this like on an Olympic scale, it's not a 10. But he grabbed him, hurked him. He was over his head and slammed him down. If they tried it 10 times, he'd probably get it better. I don't know, 5. But damn.
He's a big, strong man.
Very physically impressive match. A complete slobber knocker.
Yes.
They just destroyed each other. A Shawn Michaels video package. For any new viewers who have not been watching for the past, well, actually, who weren't watching a quarter century ago, and might not know who he was. Ted DiBiase is in the crowd. Dory Funk Jr. is in the crowd. Hacksaw Duggan is in the crowd right next to Ted. It is time for the contract signing. Shawn Michaels is hosting. He brings out Kevin Owens, who he identifies as coming from Montreal, Quebec. Kevin, the greatest merch troller? I don't know what you call him. Cody Sucks Eggs is his shirt. A tribute to Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes and Days Gone By. Cody comes out. They refuse to sit, and Sean says, that's fine. Just go ahead and sign. Cody signs right away, but Kevin wants to talk first. And Kevin cuts his promo. And I thought Kevin came across as an absolutely, completely believable human being who had issues where he felt he was wrong and he felt he was in the right. And then Cody cut him off. And that Cody sounded like a guy who had rehearsed a speech and was delivering it very passionately as he had practiced over and over and over again. They talked for a long time. Finally, Sean starts to goad Kevin. You just sound jealous. Kevin says, well, you're just like Cody. The both of you both quit when things got tough. I'm not going to be a champion who loses his smile. He finally signs. They actually take both belts and hang them from the gimmick, like they're going to do the match right this second.
I know, they're like, you got to give me these belts, we got to hang them above the ring for the match. Yeah. I was like, you're in a different building, in a different city, on a different day, like, what are we doing here? But it was a photo op.
Sure, sure. Sean wishes them both luck. Owens cheap shots Cody. Then he cheap shots Sean, goes to the package pile driver, gets super kicked by Cody. A move I don't recall him using. He probably has before, but obviously did this because Sean was there. And then Sean hit his super kick. Nothing new, like, done here. This is a contract signing, but good performance by everyone involved, especially Owens.
Well, it was very weird because if you watch SmackDown, I could have sworn they already signed the contract for this match. Maybe I missed something somewhere, but I could have sworn on television they said that it was an addendum.
Yes.
And they said that, like, multiple times. Like, they've got to sign an addendum to the title match. And so I was like, okay, what's the addendum? What's the addendum? And, you know, the day came and they just signed the contract. There was no addendum. They did not bring up an addendum. It was bizarre. So, you know, they do the thing and then, you know, they do the angle afterwards and Kevin sucker punches Cody and Sean goes after Kevin. Kevin boots him and he goes for the package pile driver, and Sean's cowboy hat falls off.
I was going to bring this up.
And Sean is far more concerned about getting hold of his hat than protecting himself from the package pile driver.
Yep.
So he manages to escape the pile driver, and then he has to make sure that his hat is repositioned on his bald head. This is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Cody hits a super kick, and then Sean starts tuning up the band, and I'm like, okay, Kevin, get the fuck out of that ring, brother. But no, he stands up and Shawn Michaels super kicks this guy. And down he goes like he's a dead body. And that's a segment. And at the end of the day, they were in San Antonio. I'm sure the fans loved it. I'm sure it was a highlight of Kevin Owens' career. I'm sure he was so happy to hold the Winged Eagle and take a super kick from Shawn Michaels. But I could not help but think at the end of the day, Shawn is 59 years old. He is a booker now for NXT. And him laying out the challenger for the world title in a ladder match at the Royal Rumble, I don't know, man. I wouldn't have done it, but whatever.
Yeah, Brian's not selling this enough. He scrambled for his hat. He was, because you know the old saying, pride cometh before a package pile driver.
You know what he needs is one of those, you know those old cowboy hats that has a string strap that connects it to your, yeah, he needs one of those.
Yeah.
I think those are for like five-year-olds.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't want that hat to fall off, brother.
No, he did not.
No.
I'm fine with it. It's not like he went face to face and out fought him. Cody super kicked him. The world was already rocked. And Shawn just finished him off.
It's not like I hate it. It's not like I think that, like it's not the end of the world or anything like that. But we do have a guy that nobody thinks is beating Cody. So it doesn't help when he gets super kicked by a 59-year-old man and left for dead.
That's fair. Monster versus werewolf video package. I cannot tell you, first of all, how awesome this was just in general. Second of all, how much one big SOB is a better nickname than Monster Among Monsters.
You know, this match here, I liked it. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was pretty good. But they did the dumbest fucking finish.
They did. They really did.
I mean, it was so fucking stupid. And then the post-match, like, this is one of those things that I just don't know what's going on anymore in this world. I talked about on Twitter how stupid the finish was and how when this was over, Fatu was a total babyface.
100%.
And I was astounded by the pushback that I got on Twitter to the point where, like, I don't even know what business, like, I don't know what people are watching anymore. So they do this match, and Fatu is killing this guy. And he ends up putting him in the corner, and he goes for the Tony Storm running hip attack, okay? So he hits him once, twice, three, four, five. He hits six of them, okay? The referee is like, oh my God, Braun Strowman's dead. So Fatu goes for a seventh hip attack, but the referee stands in the way and tells him not to do it, okay?
Brave ref.
Dude, fuck the brave ref. This is a pile of shit, okay? If you're afraid that this guy has been beaten so badly that he can't take another hip attack, then you as the referee need to stop the match.
Yep.
You don't stop the attacker. Fatu's like, what the fuck are you doing? And by the way, if you watched, by the way, as soon as a referee got in the way and told him not to do it, the entire crowd started booing. Because it doesn't make any fucking sense for the referee to tell a guy to stop doing moves, but keep the match going. So the crowd starts booing. And so what the hell's Fatu going to do? He throws down this fucking ref and he hits two more. And then the referee disqualifies Fatu. Fuck off with that finish. So then Fatu throws a chair into the ring. They send down a bunch of security guys. It's like six on one. Fatu kills every single one of these guys. At this point, I'm certain they're trying to turn this guy babyface. So now, you know, Strowman's bleeding from the mouth. And Fatu ends up breaking free of these referees. And he runs over and he hits the PME. The prettiest moonsault ever. Because that's also his finish. Place goes fucking nuts, okay? Security tries to save Braun Strowman, but the fans are loudly chanting, one more time. They want to see it again. So this guy breaks free. He runs over. He hits another PME. The crowd's going nuts. They pull this guy out of the ring. It's just like Bronson Reed. Start dragging this guy up the ramp. He breaks free again, hits the ring, hits another PME. Not only is he now getting a gigantic babyface reaction, They're chanting his name. Not one more time, like, hey, can we just see the cool move again, brother? They're chanting Fatu. Fatu. How in the fuck do you watch this and yell at me when I tell you that they totally babyface this guy by fucking him over with the finish and then having him murder this guy over and over again and about two dozen other people? So anyway, I'm sure they'll still push him as a heel, but this was a total babyface angle, 100%.
I just want to mention what was, you covered what happened. I want to talk about what was said first before the match. Jacob Fatu's promo, just backstage, was only like 30 seconds, but it was awesome.
Yeah, he's a great talker.
Beating your ass from post to post, live from coast to coast.
Yes.
That's a great, that's a bar. That is a bar right there. On the other hand, you had Michael Cole saying things like, I know he's the Samoan werewolf, but the Lupin-like assault of the turbulent Fatu.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
You know, you can always tell a show where Michael Cole feels like there might be a new audience. He talks in a different way. He says things in a different way. He's just like totally Michael Cole on steroids. I can't handle it. I can't handle it.
I eagerly await the push of the Ulafala onto Fatu. He needs to be pushed all the way up to the card and should be a monster babyface by the end of the year.
Do we think 2026 is too early to do Jacob Fatu versus Bron Breakker at WrestleMania?
Oh, I hope not.
2026? Hell no.
Okay.
Right. Do that this year if you wanted.
Excellent. Excellent. The Brainbusters are acknowledged in the crowd. Nobody pointed out Tully Blanchard is also from San Antonio.
Wonder if Arn was packing.
I don't know what the security system is like in this building.
It's Texas.
Great Last. Praise. Fair point. Great praise for what they claimed was the greatest interviewer in the history of the world. And they may not be wrong, but it still sounded funny. Of course, Gene Okerlund in the Okerland position. Jesse says he's never seen wrestlers so vicious. Tess is very impressed with Rhea Ripley. They plug the Royal Rumble, which has the men's Rumble match. Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens. DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns, 2 out of 3. And the women's Royal Rumble match. We see Hunter Hearst Helmsley calling I Show Speed to invite him to stream from the Rumble. Maybe he can race Bron Breakker. In the main event, Jey Uso versus Gunther. Long match. Had a lot of time. They hit each other for a while. Gunther chopped him to the floor, went to break. Came back. Gunther beat his ass virtually the entire time in between. We took a second break. Jey finally makes his comeback. They're going back and forth for a long time, and the crowd is super into this final comeback here, especially the very, very end. Jey gets a powerbomb for two. Powerbomb is out of the corner. Hits a spear for two. Crowd's going, this is awesome. This is awesome. Another spear, another super kick. A frog splash gets two, and suddenly, that's just it. Gunther grabs him, powerbombs him, grabs him, powerbombs again, slides on down, makes the cover, wins. Mm-hmm. Maybe they got the cue to go home. Like,
well,
now.
Obviously they had the cue to go home because they didn't have an overrun.
They did not have an overrun.
But yeah, the beginning of this match was just the problem with the beginning of this match, especially for us watching at home, was it was the old entrance commercial, minute of wrestling commercial, little heat commercial. So out of, they went like 16, 19 minutes, and I think we saw like 7 of it when you take out all the commercials. So it was very hard to get into the match, but the last few minutes, I mean, these near falls were awesome. This place is going crazy. And but then Gunther grabs him, and I'm talking clean finish, pinned him right in the middle, and I thought for sure, I thought it was possible that Jey would beat Gunther after Goldberg interfered. But I thought that even if he didn't beat him, I thought Goldberg was going to show up. Because Raw, tonight, Monday, is in Atlanta. And Goldberg was contacted about being on the show. He's from Atlanta. And they have not promoted it a single time. And so I thought, well, maybe they're not doing that because he's going to be a surprise at Saturday night's main event. But he wasn't there. So now I have absolutely no idea if Goldberg's going to be on Raw tonight, but he was supposed to be there, and he was supposed to be getting ready to do like a retirement match, probably with Gunther, but I guess we'll find out if that's fallen through or he's not ready to go or what the deal is. But I thought he'd at least be advertised to be there, but apparently not.
Yeah, I was surprised they pinned Jimmy sort of decisively.
Jay.
Or I'm sorry, I do that all the time. Jay so decisively, because what you just brought up with Goldberg would make sense that they had to call an audible at the last minute. So I don't know. But the first part of this match was, I was not enjoying it. So thank God for the last 3 minutes.
So that was that. Very good show all in all, especially the first half.
It was a very easy show to watch, as people like to say. It was easy.
Very much.
I sped through this show like it was nothing. It was just every match. It was not one match. It was too short. There was not one match. It was too long. Well, I guess you could say the main event was too short because of all the commercials. But like the time that all the matches were given was good. And, nothing went too long. Nothing went too short. There was one stupid finish, but we got a cool angle out of it. Jacob Fatu murdering dudes. So I thought it was an excellent show overall.
We also watched AEW Collision Homecoming. January 25th, 2025. Back at Daly's Place.
This was at Daly's Place, and it was colder than heck.
Yeah.
It was in the 30s, and so, like, you could see all the fans in their jackets, but you know who wasn't in jackets? These wrestlers. Mm-hmm. They were out there freezing their asses off on the show. And there was, like, really, really good heat for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you could tell, like, people were cold.
It's freezing.
And it was getting even colder.
Yeah, also true.
Yes. Yeah. And so it hurt the last half hour or so of the show.
Yes. The patriarchy calls out Samoa Joe. Nick Wayne's allowed to speak. Vows to embarrass and dismantle Joe with a smile on his face.
Well, Christian said, I'm going to allow him to speak. But then, like me with you, he quickly cut him off. Mm. And Nick shot him that look like, he said I could speak. Mm. They're doing a very, very, very... very, very slow build to this breakup of this crew. It should happen by 2044, by my calculations.
Rockstar Tony Storm, or whatever she's called here, finally says...
Tony time!
Tony time, Tony Storm, finally gets to meet Mariah May face to face. Mariah May just laughs at this. Joe appears on screen to a monster pop and promises that the son will suffer for the sins of the father. So it's Samoa Joe versus Nick Wayne. Jim Ross is on commentary, calling Nigel his hero. Joe is rocking an incredible chin strap neckbeard these days. Quite a look. So they do, he brings out Hook and Shibata for backup to counter Christian Cage and Kip Sabian. They did the most entertaining lockup and headlock I've seen in years. And it got continued to entertain me after that was done. Joe is whipping Nick's ass in the corner with punches and chops. At one point, appeared to dislocate his finger. He walks away, he's holding his hand out, and they could do a close-up of it briefly, and his middle finger appeared to be at a strange angle, and he just kept back kicking Nick's ass. Didn't bother him at all. Nick goes to the ice to cut him off, works the legs for a bit, hits a moonsault press to the floor, but when he tries the Wayne's World, Joe ducks under him. I figured he'd just do the walkaway spot. But he ducks under him, clotheslines his head off, goes for the muscle buster, and he's got Nick up on his shoulders. Christian and Kip jump on the apron. Shibata and Hook tackle them down. They're all brawling, and Joe drops Nick on his head and pins him. A very fun opener.
This entire show, every match was like this. It was like there were no great matches on the show, but they were all fun matches, not a ton of time, simple, good crowd until they got really cold, and just fun, basic matches. And that's exactly what this was.
You know, Joe could have really murdered Nick throughout the match, but he actually gave him something. So I enjoyed this a lot. Nick looked great. Great. Nick is a great heel.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to talk, and he's not afraid he's not afraid to prance, for a better word, lack of a better word. He's just, he's getting it.
Nick very much deserves to be on a nationwide high viewership wrestling show.
Yeah.
He's a very good professional wrestler. We have a recap of the thing with Omega and Ospreay.
Thank God. We got about 75 plays of the moonsault this week.
If anything, they had too many angles.
No.
Because they kept cutting in midair to a different angle every time.
Well, that's true. Show us the whole move and then show us another angle.
Yes, yes. But at least they showed it. That's good. Kazuchika Okada versus Commander in a champion versus champion non-title match. You know, this place just may have too many belts flying around. If you're randomly throwing out a champion versus champion non-title.
That's right. I forgot Commander had that belt.
Ring of Honor.
He's done a
TV
hell of a lot
title.
Of champions since winning that Ring of Honor TV title.
He might
if tell you.
He might if you actually watch Ring of Honor, but not many people do.
No. The shows that we actually watch, he is in exactly the same spot, continuing to do jobs for everybody.
Yep, yep. There's some comedy about handshakes, a couple of Commander high spots, and Okada hits a DDT on the floor. We go to commercial.
What I liked about this is Okada spent a lot of time in Mexico. And so he sold great for all of Commander's springboard arm drags and lucha spots. This was a good match for a lazy Okada.
I did like Jim Ross openly pointing out how much energy Okada was not expending.
Yes, that's all true.
And he meant it as a credit. Conserve your energy.
As I do as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But although I'm still not... listen, I'm all for, you know, taking it easy but still having a great match. But this falling off the top rope into the elbow gimmick... like, it has to be trolling. Like, if it's a big match, like in the finals of the Continental Classic, he did actually leap,
yeah.
Okay? But if it's not a match of that level, which is virtually every other match he has, he now goes up there, and it's like Orange Cassidy. He just falls off for the elbow. And it's like, the fuck's going on here, dude?
Orange puts more effort into his matches.
So, I did laugh when Commander's comeback started, when Okada tried a powerbomb. But Commander turned into a face buster because you can't powerbomb Kid Commander.
That's right.
I laughed. So
are you proud of yourself?
I actually am, yes. A couple more high spots and a super springboard destroyer thing and a tightrope moonsault press. But try something or other back in. Okada catches him, hits the Rainmaker, and wins a perfectly fine TV match. Okada shakes his hand afterwards, but there's a swerve and lays him out and laughs at him and leaves with a huge smile.
Yeah, it's funny because Okada, when he helps him up, you know, he ends up giving him that big, he jumped him. And as soon as he jumped him, like, he actually got booed. And I thought, oh my God, he's finally done something as a heel. And the fans have actually booed him. But then, after he laid him out from behind in a cowardly move, he then began to laugh about it. At which point, the audience began cheering him. Like, you were halfway there, brother. You almost did it.
It's all Commander's fault for the handshake spot again and again and again. He had it coming.
A recap that I still can't believe this actually happened this way, but it's true. Shane Taylor beat up three dudes, then got beat up by four dudes, and this is all to set up a trios match that does not directly include Shane Taylor.
Okay, so this is something that AEW, and by AEW I mean Tony Khan, needs to take to heart and work on, okay? I watch 98% of AEW television shows. Dynamite, Collision. I quit watching Rampage, but that show's dead, so it doesn't matter. But I watch every Dynamite and almost every Collision, okay? So I missed last week's Collision, okay? I may have watched a third of it, but I didn't end up watching the entire thing, okay? So, because I missed two-thirds of a Collision show, I have watched the last two AEW shows completely differently, okay? I didn't see the 12-man where Hobbs got the win in the end, okay? I knew it happened, but I didn't see it. I knew it happened because it's my job. So when I watched Dynamite, and I actually was like waiting for them to show me Hobbs's win since I hadn't seen it, and they didn't do it. And I was like, what? How the fuck do you not show us that? So then I'm watching this show, having not watched Collision last week, and they had this Undisputed Era, Daddy Magic, Cool Hand, Danny Garcia, they had this video package set up, this trios match. And like, I watched this thing, and granted, yes, they did do a video package to recap it and set it up, but I watched it, and I could figure out about half of what the fuck happened. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a great video package. If you watched last week, it probably reminded you of exactly what happened. But if you didn't watch last week, I watched this and I was like, so, okay, like, I got, you know what I'm saying? I got half of it. So anyway, they need to do a much better job with their recap video packages. Because, you know, Tony goes to every show. Like, he literally goes to virtually every single solitary show. He watches every show. He books every show. He knows what happens on every show. So he's, like, doing every show knowing everything that happened, but I don't think he can grasp that there are people that might miss a collision, or they might miss a dynamite, or maybe they saw it, but they were on the phone, or they had to do some work or whatever. He's got to do a better job highlighting things that happened on previous shows, because this was like, I like that they did a video package, but it still didn't fully fill me in. I still was like, what? So that was that.
Powerhouse Hobbs is in the parking lot waiting for Big Bill. We see him pace back and forth a little bit, and then something is thrown and misses. They claim it was a brick. I thought it was a bottle, whatever. It's thrown, misses by a good 6 feet, and suddenly Big Bill's just there. And as the fight continues, the camera pans around, and it's not like there's something Big Bill could have jumped out from behind of and thrown this brick. Big Bill must have been charging across the field like Lancelot in the Holy Grail, just running and running and running and running. Hobbs couldn't see him, and he throws this brick. Then Hobbs sees him, and they fight. They had every pro wrestling hardcore brawl you ever saw, convenient weapons just hanging out around the parking lot, cookie sheets and whatnot. And eventually security does a half-assed job of separating them, and they go their separate ways. Kind of dumb, honestly.
Well, it was weird because in storyline, what is Tony's job?
Tony Khan?
Yes.
To book exciting pro wrestling matches.
He's the matchmaker.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on Wednesday, we had these two guys challenge each other for Saturday, right?
Yeah.
That happened.
Yes.
Well, why didn't this Tony Khan bloke put the match together? So what happened is they showed up and they start fighting each other in the parking lot, which apparently nobody wants because like security ends up trying to separate them. And then later they start heading to the ring, which I figured was a match. But like as they're heading to the ring, they get separated again. And like everybody is doing everything in their power to not let them wrestle each other, even though they made the challenge to each other on Wednesdays. God damn it. Have I told you that I had this in my throat for like how long now? A month?
Yeah. God damn it. I haven't brought it up for 100
But anyway, it was bizarre. No match was scheduled on the show between these two guys.
Yeah.
They made a challenge to each other, and I guess the Tony character just said, do not let them go near each other under any circumstances. I don't know why.
Lexi interviews the Costco guys. Thankfully, before they can get far, Roderick Strong is there to shout, Big! And come in and talk to them. And Adam Cole comes in. They all go boom. And AJ goes boom some more. And Lexi's like, the fuck's going on?
Lexi was baffled.
They have go away heat with me. I'm done with these guys.
I didn't mind them at first, but last appearance they had, there was way too much boom going on.
Well, the problem is when they first showed up, it was new. And it immediately led to a match. And Big Boom AJ used to be a worker, and so, like, the match was fine. And so the first stuff that they did, it was, like, got people talking about it. It did giant numbers on social media. Like, WWE was super, they wanted Big Boom AJ. And so AEW ends up signing him up, but then they have no idea what to do with him. So, like, every appearance thereafter has been him and his kid standing there and just saying boom over and over again. It's like, there's no promo, there's no... Hey, you know, I want this guy, whatever. How many times can I watch a guy say boom?
You're not done yet. No more. Apparently, yeah. So it's Undisputed Kingdom versus Danny Garcia and Daddy Magic and Cool Hand Ange. So they mentioned this, like, they said their partner's coming back. They just said it'd be the new daddy. And the announcers clarified to be Cool Hand Ange in case you were confused. But it's his first match back in a while. He's been on wedding/honeymoon/paternity leave. He just comes on out like he's been there for weeks at a time.
Yeah, this was their first match together since July.
Yeah.
And he was just like back.
He just walks out.
Yeah, no big deal.
Just in the match, tagging in, tagging out, whatever. I'd like to point out Adam Cole this week, the same color as everyone else. So that's good.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
Roderick gets a hot tag, always great, against all three dudes. He's running wild. Shane Taylor Promotions is in the crowd, talking smack at everyone. It turns into a 6-way brawl, and eventually they triple team Daddy Magic and pin him. And it's a fine little TV trios match, but I'm like, okay, well, Adam Cole and his friends all seem like fine, kind of, sort of high-profile guys to challenge Daniel Garcia. Shane Taylor Promotions, despite what happened last week, do not. But hands are shaken. Garcia and Kyle O'Reilly who've been kind of button heads the whole time, even they very briefly shake hands, but the announcers make no mention of any of this. And it just ends. That's all.
I've often said that Iron Mike Sharp, easily the loudest wrestler ever, is Daddy Magic.
He's not giving, a quiet guy.
He's not a wallflower.
No.
He's giving him a run for his money.
You are always aware when Daddy Magic is on TV.
Yes, you are.
Or in the building or in the vicinity. He's a loud, loud man.
Yeah. A Max Caster promo.
Oh, allow me. So, last week's Collision, may I repeat, I missed that show, okay? Show did 342,000 viewers and a 0.10, okay? It did half of what Dynamite does, okay? So half the people that watch Dynamite every week did not watch Collision, all right? Max Caster starts doing this promo about how his tag partner and mentor turned their backs on him. And I was aware of this. Like, I heard that it happened. But, and I'm telling you this right now, on Sunday, January 26th, I have absolutely no idea what happened. I don't know what happened. I only know they broke up. I don't know who did what, who said what, who did what to who. Nothing. I have no idea. They showed zero footage of it on Dynamite. They showed zero footage of it on this show. All I heard was Max Caster say, last week, my tag partner and my mentor turned their backs on me. I was like, okay, what happened? Nothing. He says, I'm the best wrestler alive.
That's a lie.
Open challenge. Who can survive the best wrestler alive? You can't beat the best wrestler alive. And I'm just sitting there going, you're the worst wrestler alive because your tag team of 5 years broke up and you did an entire promo and did not tell me a single thing that happened last week. I swear to God, and this is what I'm going to do too. I'm not going to look it up, okay? I'm going to find out. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a kid, you remember Star Blazers?
Oh, I do.
Sure. I've told this story before. We didn't have DVRs, VCRs, nothing, okay? When you were a kid my age in 1981, you had to watch Star Blazers before school, and if you missed it, you were fucked.
Yep.
There was no option to go back and watch the replay or DVR or Max or whatever. You either watched it live or you missed it, okay? I have never seen the final episode of Star Blazers. Every single, because they just kept replaying the thing over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. Every time it was time for me to see the final episode of Star Blazers, I was sick. We were on summer vacation. I've never seen it. I don't know what happened. I could look it up, but there's part of me that thinks, you know what? Before I die, maybe I'll go back and watch all of Star Blazers again. So I don't want to spoil it.
Still a good show.
And you know what? If I die, who cares? It's not that important. But the point is, I will not go back and find out what happened with the Acclaimed. I won't. I am going to watch this show every week, and I'm going to find out if they ever actually tell me what caused the breakup of this multi-time tag team championship team that has been in AEW for 5 years. They broke up on a show. It was never recapped anywhere, and I don't know what happened to this day. So we'll find out if I ever learn the true fate. We'll find out if I learn, what am I going to learn first? The final episode of Star Blazers or what happened to the Acclaimed? Anyone want to take bets on which I'll figure out first? And don't send it to me in email.
I will tell you this.
Yes?
I didn't have to watch the show. I was gone last Saturday, on Sunday, and you guys reviewed TNA anyway. But I did watch a little bit of this when I had friends over. And when they got done with that segment, my buddy Dwayne looked at me and he goes, well, that was dumb.
Yeah. I will.
So I missed something that was dumb.
Well, yeah, without spoiling it, Brian, without describing it for you and ruining your goal of not learning unless they tell you specifically, it was dumb. Mm-hmm. It was very dumb, actually.
Mm. Maybe that's why they haven't showed the replay.
Shame?
Fair. Yeah, maybe it's like
a very rare quality in pro wrestling.
We'll just tell everyone that we broke up.
Yeah. Yeah. A hologram teaser promo aired.
Oh, God.
More basic programming.
I hate to do
20
it.
Print or 10 print hologram, 20 go to 10.
What happened next? Top Flight appeared on the screen.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And they said, Action Andretti and Leo Rush attacked us last week. And now this one I actually didn't know. This was the first I heard of it. I thought, you broke up? You guys broke up too last week? Leo Rush and Action Andretti turned on Top Flight last week? No idea. Absolutely, positively no idea. Would you like to guess if they showed any sort of recap or if anybody talked about it or anything? They didn't. So, again, for the half of the Dynamite audience that did not watch Collision, we have absolutely no earthly idea what happened with Top Flight. And I don't know, dude.
Okay, this one I do want to talk about.
Okay.
So it was Top Flight against the Murder Machines.
This is what happened last week?
It was last week.
Okay, so you're going to fill us all in.
I'll fill you all in. Okay. I actually do want to talk about this and get this off my chest. First of all, Top Flight have been demoted to already in the ring status.
Yep.
They didn't get an entrance. The Murder Machines is now their in-canon name. They got a graphic and everything. They slaughtered these dudes. A complete massacre. Destroyed them, embarrassed them, emasculated them, tortured them, and finally Mercy killed them.
All correct.
So they leave, and Top Flight's down on the mat, and Leo and Action zoom in and attack them. I was like, dude, these guys were beaten so bad, you attacking them doesn't help you. It drags you down to their level. Don't interact with them anymore.
Okay, Benny, you're glossing over. They attacked them in those jackets.
That's so beside the point.
No, Mike, it's not, because as I was just stating, Dwayne was on the couch, and he said, that's even dumber than the last thing I saw.
And they got those jackets still. So that's what's up with Top Flight and Frenemies. So back on this week's Collision now. It's Lexi interviewing Top Flight and whatever their girlfriend's name is. I can't remember. I don't think she was identified here. Darius.
It's Layla Gray.
Layla Gray.
Right.
Darius says it was Dante's idea to bring Leo into the group in the first place. It was your boy who started this mess. Now I got to clean it up.
Now they're breaking up.
I guess. He challenges Leo, take off your stupid coat. I'll see you in the ring again. And if he just ends there, it's fine. They could do a better job, but his promo was fine. And he caught out someone by name, challenged him to set up a match on the road, fine. And just before he faded away, Layla Gray has to get in a well said.
Well, it was well said, you know.
Speaking of saying things well, Tony Schiavone's in the ring. He brings out Mariah May. She wants to get this shit over with. So Schiavone brings out Tony Time, Tony Storm. Tony comes out and Nigel says everyone has been playing along with Tony Storm's facade. So we know Nigel knows that she's been pretending. Mariah buries her for a while. I see nothing. I feel nothing. You are nothing. You're a joker. I'm even laughing at you.
Killing me.
No. So she finishes off. I will get off by humiliating you in your hometown. And then Tony just gives her a big old hug. I'm your biggest fan. You're amazing. You're an inspiration. One day I want to be just like you. And so Mariah slaps her and then slaps her again, lays her out with a belt shot and beats her and beats her and beats her and beats her and yes. Beats on her and spits on her and leaves. And suddenly, Tony reveals her grand plan. Still lying on the mat, selling this ass whipping. She's now timeless again. I remember every scar, all the blood. Now is my moment in the sun. She begins to disrobe down to her, I guess, timeless lingerie. The hardest role you ever played yourself. You've seen the performance of a lifetime. Mariah May, you came from my womb. I will shove you back up there, spit you out, and rip your tits off. The place is going crazy. Okay. Timeless Tony Storm's delivery of this promo was A++++++++.
Yes.
Her delivery was fantastic. But I feel the need to go back and break down her plan step by step.
Please. Okay. What was it? What was the reason for the charade?
She was a champion. Let's go back to the very beginning. She was a champion. Mariah May comes in and sucks up to her. It's all a ruse on her part to lay her out, to lay Tony out, and take the title from her. That's what happened. And so Tony Storm's heartbroken and disappears. She comes back, and now we know the whole time she was pretending to be a rookie. She didn't have amnesia. She wasn't mentally ill. It was all a plot.
Right.
And she won some matches. She lost some matches. she had to get lucky to win the casino gauntlet match because she was like one of the last women in. It could have ended before she even got out there. She gets her match. She comes out here and gets her ass beat. Just stomped like Top Flight. Like Private Party. This may have been the worst beating in AEW of the week. And she gets up and says, "Ha ha! I fooled you."
Yeah.
So
she got me.
The important thing is she's back to the gimmick she should be doing. She's getting the big match against Mariah May in her hometown. That's all fine. So we'll move on from this point. But her plan sucked.
You know, Toni Storm is quite great.
Yeah.
Okay, she is great. And her character, she does a great job playing both of those characters. And the thing is, when you really, really like something as a fan, you will overlook a lot. Really? And I have seen a lot of that in the last couple of days because I have seen so many people talking about how fantastic this segment was. And listen, I like Toni too, but her performance, like her promo, it was an excellent promo. The story sucks, okay? Yeah, I'm sorry.
She made chicken salad.
If you love Toni, that's great, but the story sucks.
Yeah.
And I know people will get angry and they're going to explain how awesome this is, but like, you're telling me, and the first thing people are going to go, and I will say this, when she turned back into Timeless Toni, like the building did go crazy. They went nuts for her, okay? So like, great. If you loved it, great. That's fine. I'm not mad at you. You're welcome to love it and everything like that. But you're telling me that if she had just been gone like she was, and Mariah May had won a championship match at World's End, for example, and cut a promo about how she destroyed everybody and there was nobody left, whatever, and suddenly Timeless's music hit and Timeless Toni Storm ran down and beat the living hell out of Mariah May and cut this same fiery promo and challenged her to a match in Australia, you're telling me the place wouldn't have gone crazy?
Yes.
Of course they would have. So using the defense of, yeah, but they popped and they went crazy, dude, they would have done that if she would have just returned and ran wild.
Yes,
we didn't need you. This bizarre story that involved her coming back, pretending that she had amnesia, sucking in the ring, having people chant she's a rookie, and then her whole plan was to get her ass handed to her on a collision show, head-to-head with Saturday night's main event, which will be seen by like 180,000 people, and then become Timeless Toni Storm in front of... What? That was your plan? So no. I'm a big fan of Toni.
Yeah.
There's a way better way this could have been done. It should have been done on pay-per-view. It should have just been a gigantic return. It should have involved her beating Mariah's ass and making the big challenge. This was a very, very circuitous way to get to the same result, but where they did it on a collision in Daly's Place on a terrible Saturday night, I just was, I don't want to say I was baffled because this was what I kind of figured would happen, but I don't know, man. I don't know. It was what it was.
Not to mention all that, as you noted, she got a huge pop when she started doing the Timeless Toni voice again. Because that's the Toni Storm everyone wants to see.
Yes.
She would have gotten the same pop if she just showed up with that voice in the first place.
She was gone for 4 months, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Mariah, I mean, dude, she could have returned on any show as Timeless Toni without the whole rigmarole, and it would have got the biggest pop of the entire night. And I don't even want to mention, my biggest problem had nothing to do with Toni. You know, my biggest problem was, first off, last week when she won the casino gauntlet, like, Mariah was all happy. She was all, oh, that's great. That's awesome. And then, like, a week later, Mariah comes out and she's all angry. I'm like, well, what happened in the last week where all of a sudden now you're all angry to be facing Toni? And then it was just the same Mariah May promo. I'm going to bury every single woman. I'm going to bury Toni Storm. I'm going to say she's nothing. She sucks. She means nothing to me. She's useless. She's pathetic. It's like, how many times am I going to hear this promo? Like, You got to figure out how to go after your opponent, but put them over, and also talk about how you're going to beat them. It's like, golly, I don't know, man.
We had a clip of AEW Close Up with Rene Paquette interviewing John Moxley, of all people.
So if you want to find out what the hell's going on with the Death Riders, well, premiering on YouTube, Close Up with Rene Paquette. He's going to explain all of this, apparently.
Yes.
Because they showed about 30 seconds of it.
He says he wants 1,000 John Moxley so this place can survive after he's gone. Giving this job the respect it deserves is not a party. And this is done to plug Jeff Jarrett versus Claudio Castagnoli on Dynamite. Hounds of Hell versus Gates of Agony. So, unfortunately, this is the part where the crowd was frozen solid.
Oh, they were just, yeah.
Beyond dead. And they tried for a while. Each team has one big giant hoss and one ripped athletic guy. And so they tried pairing off like that for a bit, and it kind of worked. And then there was a hot tag to Brody King, who I love. He looked just out of sorts. Everything was a fraction out of place, just a little bit off of time. And then there was a four-way spot, and Toa Leona and Brody King just absolutely lost control of whatever the hell they were doing. The Hounds of Hell, not House of Hardcore, Hounds of Hell hit their double team in the corner, got the win, a disappointing match.
I thought this was one of those ones where they just should have squashed a team, and not necessarily this team. It just seemed unnecessary.
I was actually excited when they announced the match.
Sure.
But it wasn't very good.
It didn't go anywhere.
No. Harley Cameron is now with the Costco guys. She's getting their catchphrases wrong. They plug their song. She sings as well. The Vendetta interrupts. They're not listening to a TikTok act and a woman who can't even win a match on TV. And they're sure to repeat this every week now. And I'm sure when Harley gets her first big win, it'll be a huge deal. Lexi interviews Thunder Rosa and Penelope Ford. Thunder's reminiscing about all her great memories at Daly's Place. Penelope does not care about the past. If I have to tear apart a former champion to show him a star, I will. Thunder turns to her and says, "Oh, you want to catch these hands?" Penelope says, "Well, that is why we're here." They take shots at each other for a while. Yet another four-way match.
Yeah, this one was tough. It was Queen Aminata, Yuka Sakazaki, Dion, and Serena Deeb. And now this crowd is just, they're freezing. Mm-hmm. And they did not care about this match at all.
No.
And part of it was because the winner is getting a shot at Mercedes Moné on Wednesday. And these are the names. Queen Aminata, Yuka Sakazaki, Deonna Purrazzo, Serena Deeb. And there was not one person in Daly's Place who thought it mattered one bit who won. Because not one of these names has a prayer of beating Mercedes Moné on Wednesday. And so they just watched it. They made no sound whatsoever. And then Yuka got the pin. And the crowd did pop for Yuka winning. So it is Mercedes versus Yuka Sakazaki Wednesday for the TBS title.
Yeah. It was four random women doing a bunch of random things. At one point, Serena Deeb and Queen Aminata brawl to the back, which is the only thing the crowd actually cared about at all. They were into the brawl, and they brawl to the back and disappeared. The crowd's like, boo! That was the only part we liked. So now the Vendetta is just openly double-teaming. Poor Yuka. Harley tries to make the save, but she gets killed. Yuka still pins Deonna with a cradle. Any two of these women in a singles match would have been better than this four-way. Lexi is interviewing the Hounds of Hell.
I love it because on Wednesday they go, the Hounds of Hell.
When we bark, we bark together.
And on Wednesday, it was only Brody who barked.
Yeah, they did not bark together.
And then on this show, Buddy decided that he would also bark, and Julie just stood there and she would not bark. So we'll see if she barks on Wednesday.
I think Brody barked a little bit.
Yeah.
We're growing the togetherness.
They did bark in unison during the match, if that helps.
Yeah. So Okada's laughing at them. You bark like a bitch, he says. Buddy challenges Okada. Okada says, no. And Buddy says, well, I guess you're the bitch then. And the Hounds of Hell pull him away. And Okada's left flustered and finally just shouts, I'm not bitch! Big build as a promo. Challenges Hobbs to hobble on out here and finish him off for good. So Hobbs does. Bill kicks him right in the knee, levels him with a backpack, and turns out the backpack has the knee brace and bricks and a chain, and Hobbs is bleeding, and Bill beats him up for a long time. And after a while, like, where are Rated FTR?
Dude, forget that. Where's all that security from earlier?
Where the security, where the Outrunners
were? Like, earlier, they were all over stopping this. This time, it was like, eh.
Where is anyone? And finally, Hobbs kicks him in the dick, makes his own comeback. He suplexes him off the stage through a couple of tables. And they're lying there in the rubble. These two monsters have just, you know, destroyed the city like Godzilla and Kong. And Shivani calmly explains, the Don Callis family had a meeting, we understand. And we go to a video.
I will say that I did like that they are saving the actual match for a bigger show. They did not give That's it fine. All away here.
Yeah.
So it's just the setup was just weird. Like, they both want each other on Saturday. They challenge each other, but like, Tony won't allow it. And then they try to separate them, but then later in the show, they don't bother trying. They kill each other, and now we move on to Don Callis. A very stylized
dude,
also
Don Callis mini movie.
This was freaking awesome. I am all down with Don Callis and the Don Callis family having more, what's the word?
Meetings in his secret Adams
meetings,
house.
Clandestine meetings.
Yes,
that's what we're looking for.
It wasn't really clandestine. They were in a giant house with paintings of Kenny and Donald. Don and Takeshita.
Fine art and intricate architecture and pro wrestling memorabilia with like the Sheik.
Yes,
just scattered about. And Don's taking in and pondering this, his role in this crazy business. So his family has already seated for dinner. And Don says, I'm sorry if I'm late. I'm moving much slowly these days after Kenny Omega destroyed me. This is not the same Kenny Omega that faded away into the night. This is a Kenny who's bloodthirsty. He lacks empathy. He won't stop until he spills my blood, which means he'll spill all of yours first. We cannot allow this alliance with Will Ospreay to take place. Kay's interrupts and says, Don, I understand what you're saying, but there's still only two of them and five of us. First, Don scolds him. Kay, you should know better. Do not short sell Kenny Omega. By the way, who said there's only five of us?
Oh, man.
They may as well have had a lightning crash and an evil cackle. They can do this every week. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Huge fan. Huge fan.
Hopefully that fifth guy is the Wolf Man.
Sure. Kenosuke Takeshita versus Katsuyori Shibata. I love Don Callis. I'm sorry.
How has no wrestling heel ever taken the name Lone Chaney?
Don't know.
Incredible name.
Yeah.
Incredible name.
So Callis is out there, and they're talking about how Omega attacked him on Dynamite.
When did they announce this match, by the way?
During the show, I think.
I
heard about this at 4:30 on Saturday, a half hour before the show started. Because I was talking to someone at the show.
I'm fairly certain it was plugged in one of their 3-second corner of the screen bits on Dynamite.
Was it plugged on Dynamite?
I think so.
Okay. Because I'm not certain. I went back on Twitter to try to find the earliest mention of it, and I couldn't find anything earlier than like Saturday.
Okay.
So maybe they did.
Yeah.
But like,
but as usual,
seems like a pretty big fucking match.
They don't do a good job of promoting.
No. Takeshita and Shibata for the international title?
Yes.
That's the main event of Collision.
Yes. So Callis is talking about, they're talking about how Omega attacked Callis in the ramp in Dynamite. Callis says, I just came out to congratulate Omega on his return, and Omega attacked me. Shivani turns to him and says, do you think everyone's stupid? And Callis says, yes!
Compared to me, everyone is stupid.
Does Don need a podcaster? Does he need someone who spread his propaganda, pushes his agenda to the masses? I'd like to work for this man. He talks about Jim Ross and his obsession with Hosses, I know you like large men, he says. And you can't teach size like this, Takeshita has.
Okay, I was alerted that this match was announced on Ring of Honor on Thursday.
Christ.
Oh. Okay.
Who watches that show?
Ring of Honor on
Oh, that's
Thursday.
Right. We talked about this. You and I talked about this on the show because I saw the promo online that Don Callis did challenging to Shibata for this match. And we talked about it during our review of Dynamite. And how that's where it was announced.
Okay.
And I'd already forgotten that.
Yes, the last segment of Ring of Honor was to announce this match. Yes.
This promotion sucks at promoting.
God.
It's great to watch. They're awful at promoting. Anyway, they're fighting outside the ring for a long time, and Don doesn't care until Shibata takes over. Then Don panics, leaves the announce desk to be at ringside for his man. The second half of this match was awesome. Suplexes and STOs, and the crowds, they actually woke up this frozen solid crowd. And Takeshita's powering around, tombstone wheelbarrow combo, and Takeshita falls off, kicks him in the face. Crowd chanting, this is awesome now. Takeshita gets an abdominal stretch, hooking the leg to make Gorilla Monsoon proud. and the suplexes are exchanged, and Shibata gets a sleeper, goes for the penalty kick, but Callis trips him to distract him, and Shibata still gets a cradle for two, but Takeshi gets a blue thunder bomb for one, but Shibata can't follow. There's a double clothesline. They do a double clothesline, but Takeshi just runs right through him, hits a flurry of strikes and raging fire, and wins. Very good main event.
It was a really good main event. I mean, especially the last couple of minutes. I mean, they got a really, really cold crowd back to life. Fucked on Callis Chance. A lot of good near falls. And then Don hit the ring, celebrated with Takeshi, and that was the end of the show. I called this show solid, you know?
Not perfect.
Nah. And it could have been a lot better with just like little minor tweaks, which I think is what irritates me so much. It's not like, you know, when you used to watch Impact, it's like, this show is fucking terrible, and there's like, there's no recovery possible. It's just like, no matter how much work you could have done on this particular, you know, there's a barbed wire Christmas tree match. Like, it was impossible to make the show good. This show, there were like little things, like, can I have a video package? Like, what the fuck happened last week? What happened with the Acclaim? What happened with Top Flight? You know, how come Shibata and Takeshi wasn't announced a week ago? I mean, those are the little things that, they're not hard to fix. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, these things can be fixed. The show would be miles better. So hopefully they can work on that because... And hopefully on Wednesday I'll find out what happened with the Acclaimed. You don't think so, Craig?
No.
God.
Why? Who cares? Seriously. I mean...
I've invested 5 years of my life into this promotion. I want to know why the Acclaim broke up. So yeah, I do care.
I'll tell you why.
No, don't. No, I'm muting you. Sorry. Don't do it. I am relying on them to tell me what happened. Got it? Now listen, we got to wrap it up.
Okay.
I'm going to be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have Observer Live at noon, and Filthy Tom and I will do a solo show, the two of us, at 2 o'clock Pacific.
Two guys doing a solo show?
5 Eastern. Well, you know, usually Lev late, it's been, he just comes on to Observer Live with me and Mike. So when I say solo show, we're going solo, the two of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I very much enjoyed Vinny and Tom doing their solo show.
We'll do it again.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. He's available.
That's why Batman and Robin were the dynamic solo.
He wants a, exactly. Don't question me, Vinny. I say what I want. That's Tom's got to match you. He's got something he wants you to review with him.
Does he?
Yeah, so you guys are going to do a show together again.
All right.
Dogfight Wild Tournament.
Say what now?
A 10-man Royal Rumble, no rules bouts, 2v2 medieval fights, and something called the car fight.
A car fight?
Huh. Yeah, it's probably you get a fight in a car.
I have seen car jitsu.
Yeah.
It's shoot fights in a car.
That's not jujitsu, but okay.
No, it's car jitsu.
Ridiculous.
This.
But anyway, that's and then Observer Radio tonight and tomorrow. So, hey, if you haven't signed up, that's 5 shows in 24 hours. So we're working on our 84 this month. We're packing them in over the next day. So anyway, check it out, WrestlingObserver.com or Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. And that's it, everybody. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Adios.